Sunday morning and Sunday night. Last Sunday morning I preached on the will of God. On Sunday night I preached on the mystery of His will. And tonight I want to look at the wealth in the will of God. I had a friend one time said they got a new pastor at their church and he preached for 5.5 years out of the book of Jude. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He said, "Preacher, to this day, I'm just telling you the truth. I won't tell you his name, but he said, I'm telling you the truth. When someone gets in the pulpit and says, 'Turn to Jude,' I shudder." He said, "But I got caught up on a lot of my sleeping during it. I don't want you to feel that way about it. But there's no sweeter place to abide than in the will of God." The last two sermons that I preached on this, and I'll be preaching off and on out of the book of Ephesians because there's so many great things to help us claim the promises of God and possess the promises of God that God's given to us. But you remember I pointed out some words that were significant words. First of all, blessed be God. I talked about how blessed God is. Then I talked about blessed us with spiritual blessings. So not only is God blessed, but we are blessed. Then I dealt with the word predestination. And then finally I dealt with how you cannot have predestination without accordance. And that word according used in the book of Ephesians is a musical term that we use to get a chord from, which means you have to be in harmony with. And then through that we gained some wonderful mysteries. And I gave you some accounts of things that had happened, how unexplainable things happened, just those little golden nuggets that God gives to us because that we abide in His will. But now I'm only going to look at just from verse 10 down through verse 14 tonight. I stopped with verse 9 on the mystery of His will on last Sunday night. And verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That word according always comes up with predestination, doesn't it? Verse 12, that we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom all ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed. Look at that word, sealed. With that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. And I have the word earnest underlined in my Bible too. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. There's really two problems you have when you start talking about the wealth of a believer. Two extremes. The one group preaches and teaches that once you're saved, you should never have any problems at all. You should never be sick. You should drive a brand new Mercedes and Rolls Royce. Hey, by the way, did you know I drive a Mercedes? That's the latest. You all bought me a new Mercedes. And I get 70% of the offerings. Now some will even say, "I heard him say it from the pulpit." That's not true. People just love to lie, don't they? Don't shout me down. Nothing wrong with driving Mercedes or any of these other things. But some people say that if you don't have that, then you're not in the will of God. Then you go to the other extreme where people glory in their sicknesses, not glorying in their infirmities as the Apostle Paul gloried in it, but because they love the attention. And they feel as though that poverty equates to spirituality. And the less you have, the more spiritual you are. Now I'm here to tell you tonight the truth. The truth is there is a balance between the two. If you were never sick, you would never know that God could heal. So it's not a sin for sickness to come into your life. You've not sinned as a believer when sickness comes into your life. Because if it's not for those hard times, then we wouldn't really know what our faith is or how good that our faith is until it's tried. But when our faith is tried, we know what faith is really made of and the worth of it. Had Billy never been sick, had he never had cancer, he could have never been healed. Had Todd never been sick, had he never had leukemia, he could never have been healed. Some of you, if you'd never lost your job, you'd have never learned to trust God to get another job that's now a better job. Some of you, if you'd never gone through the struggles of your children going wayward, you'd never know faith in God to bring your children back in from the Word of God that you had taught them. I'm not saying that you have to go through those things. I'm saying there is a balance in life. And maturity brings about a balance in all that we do. But for some reason, we want to go to one extreme or the other. The one extreme uses the gospel just to obtain great wealth. The other extreme says it's a sin for anybody to have anything. Listen, money is not sinful. What you do with money can be sinful. How you obtain your money can be sinful. But you have to find a balance in life. See, real faith comes along and says, even though I'm not healed now, I know God can do it. Even though I've not received my miracle yet, I know God can do it, and I believe the Lord for it. I wish you'd help me preach tonight. I can say through the struggles of life that my faith was the greatest when struggles was against me. But I want to say this, I don't want to have struggles all the time. I don't want to go through that constantly. It's great to know that God heals. It's great to know that God delivers. But I don't want to be in a place where I need deliverance all the time. I think there is a balance in life. And the problem is people don't want to hear that because that's truth. I read an interesting article several years ago. A lady's husband walked around with his finger in his ear all the time. He was watching TV, had his finger in his ear. She said, get your finger out of your ear. He said, I can't. She said, why not? He said, I've got a fly in my ear. So he'd go to work and he'd sit all day long and have his finger in his ear. Drive his car with his finger in his ear. Drove her crazy. She said one time, you've had your finger in your ear for 6 months. They say a fly only lives like 5 days. He said, I got a fly in my ear. Took him to the doctor. The doctor looked in his ear. He said, there's nothing in there. You don't have a fly in your ear. He said, yes, I do. And he walked out of the doctor's office with his finger in his ear. She took him back to another doctor. The doctor examined him, said, there's no fly in there. He said, yes, I do. And he kept his finger in his ear. Finally, she did something that's unethical. I don't condone this, but she was desperate. She got in a conversation with one of the doctors and said, listen, if we would bring him in and you would give him some type of medication to lead him to believe that he would go to sleep and lead him to believe that you had done surgery and taken that fly out of his ear, he'd probably take his finger out. What are you laughing at? Some of you have to take things that you know is not helping you, but you're too stubborn to say it. You go ahead and do it anyway. I remember when I took jogging in a jug. Pounds would melt away. Mix vinegar with grape juice and drink it. No wonder I'm a diabetic. Good heavens. They nothing going to make you lose weight but a diet and exercise. I thank all three of you for the amen. But we do desperate things and silly things. And she was desperate. I mean, it was driving her crazy. So he gave a mild form of anesthesia. And Dr. Mines will just cringe at this, but he knew she was losing her mind. And he thought, if I don't do something to give this woman some relief and this man some relief, it's hard to tell what will happen. So when he woke up, he said, it's all done. He said, the fly's out of your ear. He didn't say he removed it. He said, the fly's out of your ear. About 2 weeks later, the doctor seeing his patients, and he walks in the room, and there sits that man with his finger in his ear. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I don't want to take a chance of another one going in there. There's a lot of folks like that when it comes to truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And even when they go through it, they don't want to apply the truth. But the truth doesn't change no matter what you're faced with. And he sang us in truth to us. He saved us that we have an inheritance. What a wonderful word to say that we are part of His will and all that He has is ours, and we can stand on that, and no matter what the world tells you, no matter what you're going through, we can say we know that this world's not all there is to it, that there's something better than this, and at the end of life there's a wonderful place we call heaven that will never know sickness or heartache or death or pain, and will be in His presence forever with a glorified body. Thank God we're going to inherit what He has promised us. How do you know that? Because of the seal of His Holy Spirit. That's the present power that God gives to us. To say, I've placed my seal on it. As a believer, I'm making you a promise, and I'll protect that promise by the seal of my Spirit. We all know what a seal is used for. It's a part of our life even to this day, just as it was in biblical times. The seal was a guarantee that something was genuine. If you want to make sure that it's genuine, put the seal on it. Our church is incorporated. I work with the outreach. The outreach is incorporated. If we ever get into legal documents that they want to know that's really our signature, they want to know that really belongs to us, two things are necessary. The corporation seal and the seal of a notary that has witnessed that to say, I guarantee this. This signature is genuine. I want to tell you something. The blessed Holy Ghost tells me that this thing is genuine. We live in such a fake world today. Nothing seems to be real anymore. But I've got good news for you. This thing we call salvation, it's real. It is genuine. I know there's people that fake. They fake their worship. They fake the way they serve God. They fake the way they're living for God. But thank God for those that have hold of something that is real. Something that is genuine. They know that it's genuine because of the seal of the Holy Ghost that's upon it. In fact, if it's not genuine, you're in serious spiritual problems if you fake it. Better be genuine. And He puts the seal of the Spirit on it to mark that it's genuine. It's also a mark of ownership. In biblical days, the seal said that belongs to the king, that belongs to the authorities. The seal could not be tampered with because it was a picture of who owned that particular item, who was responsible for that particular decree. That says to us as well, with the seal of the Spirit, we're not our own. He owns us. We belong to Him. He bought us. We need to remember that in all that we do. He is our Lord. Now, there's a new doctrine going around that says that you can accept Christ as your Savior and not believe He's Lord. It's false. He's either Lord of all or Lord of nothing. Now, I grant it that we may not allow Him. It's one thing to have a king within a throne room and another thing to have a king upon the throne. But that doesn't change who the king is. That changes our attitude toward Him. And He is the owner of all things, so it's a mark of ownership. It's also put there to protect from hampering or destruction. If you break the seal, and you're not worthy to break the seal, then you had to deal with the king or the authority that had placed the seal on it. The seal in biblical times was the same as a lock in our time. Locks were put on to prevent hampering. They didn't have locks back then. They would seal certain things. And that seal meant that only the one that put the seal on it had the right to remove it. God's protecting us. Now, granted, you have a will, and you can choose to walk away from God, and you can choose to go in the wrong direction. But I want you to understand this. When we are sealed by the Spirit, there are not enough devils in hell to take our salvation away. There is not enough power in this world to take our salvation away. There is not an individual in the world that can rob us of knowing Christ as our Savior. The only one that can make a decision to go the wrong direction is ourselves. That's why if you come to me and you say, well, I used to serve the Lord, but I'm not serving the Lord because of so and so, that's not true. You're not serving the Lord because of you. I know people get hurt, and I know people do strange things and hurtful things to people, but it doesn't change the fact. You have to decide that you're going to get in accord with His will. And when we come to Him and confess our sin, He places the seal of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise upon us, and we can count on that. We belong to Him, and He won't allow the devil to hamper with our salvation. Finally, it shows that a transaction is complete. You got a deed, but it doesn't do you any good till you record it. You get a marriage license. You know what they do on that marriage license? They put the county seal on it. And then to verify that that transaction is complete, the minister has to fill out a portion of that license and send back in, and they record that. The transaction is complete. The seal is good. I've got news for you, folks. The transaction's finished. It's complete. It's paid for. All you have to do now is say, Lord, You've done the work. I'm going to believe You for it. I was talking to Ed this morning, and this week with all the snow and everything else, he said that he stopped by Wendy's one day for lunch. And somebody passed through the line in front of him. And when he went up to get ready to pay, the person waiting on him said, your lunch is already paid for. They pointed at the individual and said, that gentleman paid for your lunch. And he was somewhat baffled by it. He said, I really don't know why. She said, you don't understand. All you have to do is accept it. It's already paid for. Glory to God. If you want to go to heaven, all you have to do is accept it. It's already paid for. He paid the price and paid it in full. And all we have to do is say, blessed be God, the transaction is complete. The account has been settled, and the blood of Jesus has covered all my sin. Sealed. Not only sealed, but the earnest. That's the future promise. He gives us the Holy Spirit as the earnest. That's the down payment. What a down payment. Hey, folks, I hope you don't think I'm crazy. But if it is this good, living this life of the Lord down here, what do you think it's going to be when we get over yonder? The old timers used to say, well, it pays to serve the Lord, and even if there wasn't a heaven, and even if there wasn't a heavenly home, it'd be worth it for the benefits in this life of just serving the Lord. And I know what they're saying about that, and I agree with that, but the good news is there is a heavenly home. The Lord's given us the earnest, the down payment of His Spirit. I was trying to sell an old car, Caleb's old car. I got tired of that thing sitting in the driveway, and one afternoon I told Candy, I said, I'm going to sell that car today. She said, it's been sitting out there with a for sale sign on it. I said, well, I said, it's all the way you approach it. So I got a little bigger sign, and I'm not much of an artist, but I put for sale on there. And I put the price that I figured they'd like to hear. And I pulled it right up alongside the road until they could see it. And all of a sudden, this fellow stopped by. I saw him out there. I was doing some yard work. Went over, talked to him a little while. He said, I'd like to buy this car. He said, don't sell it. I said, you got any money? He said, what do you mean? I said, buddy, I've lost bigger deals than this because nobody had any money. And I said, I believe you're a good guy, and I know your family, and I like you and all of that, but I'm going to sell this car today. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to go get my dad and come back and take a look at it. I said, go get whoever you want, but have them bring the checkbook. And I said, and we'll make sure that it's squared away on everything. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I mean, you can get burned alive if you don't, just because I'm saved, I'm not stupid. Do business right. So while I'm out there, you know, in comes another car about 5-10 minutes later, I thought, oh, he's going to get his dad. And here's these folks from West Virginia, get out. And I thought, man, he couldn't have went to West Virginia that quick. The lady's test driving another car and sees this car. Then she sees me and she said, I know you. You hold revivals in our church. I thought, bless Jesus, the price just went up. When she told me what church, I thought, I know I'm going to get full price out of this one because they owe me. Don't be so pious. We talked back and forth, and I said, now listen, this is the oldest thing, and I said, I hate to say this. I said, but there's a boy just left here. You know, have you ever noticed the oldest car salesman trick in the world? I got 3 people want that right now. If you don't buy it right now. I said, here's the way it is. Somebody come and looked at me and said he's going to get his dad. I don't even know if he's got a dad. I know his grandpa. I said, but I'm going to sell this car today. Just to show my boy it can be done. By the way, he owed Candy some money. And if mommy's happy, everybody's happy. So I thought, we'll just make the whole family happy. I'll get a car out of my lot. I'll make Candy happy. Caleb will get his money back. Everybody will be happy. She test drove it. No more got out till in come that boy. My dad couldn't make it, he said. Can you hold it till Monday? I said, where's the cash, son? And he said, well, you being a preacher and all. I said, hey. But it just because I graduated from school, I didn't burn the school down. Deny everybody else an education. I said, I told you when you left, I need the money. Up walks another fella. I want that car. I got 3 of them on the hook at the same time. I ain't had that much fun since I went perching at Lake Erie. Catching them 2 at a time, as fast as you can reel them in. I thought, Lord, I wish I had 3 more to sell. The lady comes back and says, I'll take it. In the meantime, Candy has called Caleb to come and clean the car out. You know, he had some personal items. I didn't know what he had inside of it. So they worked the deal all out, and through that process of time, they started talking about, well, we'll be back and get the car. And I said, now listen, the only way this car will be held, there must be earnest money or there must be payment in full. She gave me an earnest check for the entire amount. She drove away and she was happy and I was happy and mommy was happy and Caleb was happy. We just had a happy night that night. And when the boy was standing there, his heart kind of sunk. And he said, I really wanted that car. And I said, some things in life, son, you can't get without the down payment. Now, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. But I'm more glad I've got a down payment on it. The Lord said, I'm not only going to take you there, Cal. I'm going to give you a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. I'm going to give you a taste of heaven. You know why I love services when God comes down and just blesses our church and opens the windows of heaven and pours out of it? You know why I love that so much? That's a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. That's the seal of the Spirit. That's why it's so precious for the Lord to come in a way like it. That is God saying to Rubyville Church or any church in America that happens in. That's God saying, listen, I'm going to keep giving you down payments until you get there. Here's a little blessing to get you through this week. There's some hard times coming this week, so I'm going to bless you with just the right song until when you get in the middle of the battle this week, you'll remember that song. I'm going to give you just the right message, so when you get out there, you'll remember that message that preacher preached. God just keeps giving us the down payment because He knows there's going to be a lot of trouble, there's going to be a lot of trials, and there's going to be a lot of strife. But you hear me? We're not home yet, but blessed be God. We're gone. God promises that. And because we have that earnest of the Holy Ghost within us, we know there's a better world and a better place. The earnest of His Spirit.
God gives us the earnest too, because He's saying, now I've got something invested in you. Now you're not going to like this closing statement, but I've got to say it. I think that's why it's such a shame when people backslide. Well, what do you mean? After God put something of such value inside of us, and then we throw it all away? Well, I mean, someone that has never tasted of the Lord, I can understand that, how they don't know how good this is. They've never, but for someone to have tasted of the goodness of God, them forsaking. I'm not being super spiritual. Devil has a lot of traps out there, and he has a lot of traps for all of us. He'd love for all of us to fail. But my, oh my, to lose the earnest. I don't know if you've ever put down earnest money on something and couldn't come up with the rest. If you did, you know what happened. You lost out. I wonder what God thinks when He looks down at our churches today. Folks, I'm telling you, now I don't want to upset you, but I almost feel like a misfit anymore. The church community's changed so much since I was a kid growing up, I hardly recognize it. The old time ways of worship's just gone. I know we're blessed around here, but I'm telling you, on the whole, it's gone. And it breaks your heart. Brian was with me with a preacher on last Monday, and we sat for lunch, and this dear old saint of God has burned his life out preaching. And I said, "Brother," I said, "really, tell me the truth. You probably preach as much as any preacher I know anywhere. He'll preach 400 and 500 sermons a year. A year." And I said, "What do you see the condition of the church in?" And you know what he told me? He said, "Please don't lose respect for me, preacher." He said, "But anymore it's just one committal service after another. The church has died." And I said, "Why do you think that is?" And he said, "Because we have sold out the earnest of the Spirit for the love of the world." Now you can do about anything you want to with a church, but you take the power of God out of a church. And you might have big numbers, and you might have big crowds, and you might have a lot of fun, but that won't do people when they're dying. That won't help us when we meet God. We need to know that we're right with God. He's put something in us, and we better not take that for granted. I think we stand on the brink of one of the greatest revivals this church has ever experienced. There is such a hunger in this region now. I got 4 emails, from one from Huntington, West Virginia, one from Chillicothe, Ohio, one from Ashland, Kentucky, and the 4th one was local. All 4 of them said the same thing. "We're considering driving to Rubyville just because we sense heaven when we get there." If we lose that, we might as well just quit. It's all over. If we don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, it's all over. We need the earnest of His Spirit. And that word earnest means we're earnest too. Let's stand together. We need to be serious about the leading of God and the calling of God into what God has for us. Brother Hyde will lead us tonight. And if there's anything in your life that you need to pray about, if there's anything that you need to give control to God of, and just say, "Lord, I want you to take this by the power of your Spirit," I plead with you tonight. Don't wait. I'm not going to plead with you. I'll not overextend the invitation. You'll be the one that will judge how long this invitation goes. But you ought to respond to God tonight. And if you stand in need and the Holy Spirit deals with your heart,
about anything. You come from your seat. If you're away from God, you come. You turn your back on God, you come. If you're in a struggle, you come. As we say.